Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Classic FM. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, country, rock, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the websites WYTV.com and OnThisDay.com. Question number one. Which of the following is or are true about the month of December? Is it A, December 21st this year is the summer solstice? Is it B, December is the 12th month in the Gregorian calendar, but was just the 10th month in the preceding Julian calendar? Is it C, the month's name comes from the Latin root decem, which means 12? Or is it D, December is the rarest month to be born in? So which of those is an accurate description of December? And question number two, it was on this very day back in 1997 that Kenny G set a record when he held a note on his saxophone for how long? Was it A, 2 minutes and 15 seconds? Was it B, 11 minutes and 32 seconds? Was it C, 45 minutes and 47 seconds? Or was it D, over 1 hour? Kenny G's sax record. How long was that, anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of December the 1st. Well, it was on this very day back in 1956 that the Leonard Bernstein musical Candide opened on Broadway. The work was based on the book by Voltaire. It ran for just 2 months, 73 performances. But it opened 1956 today. And it was 58 years ago today, 1965, in Sacramento, California, that Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones was shocked and knocked unconscious during a concert when his guitar made contact with his microphone during a performance of The Last Time. 1965, today.
Say it's all right. Say it's all right. It's all right. Have a good time. 'Cause it's all right. Oh, it's all right.
John Batiste, It's All Right, introduces our jazz and blues music news. It's entitled American Symphony. John Batiste gave us the best music doc of the year. The singer-musician-composer writes his magnum opus while his wife battles cancer in a moving ode to love, creativity, and the art of survival. This is written by David Fear, November 28, 2023, Rolling Stone magazine. The article ends with this: American Symphony understands exactly how the professional and the personal intertwine. After watching Batiste on the road, getting up and down updates on his wife's health in between gigs, we watch him dedicate a number to her at a concert. Then he sits at the piano, fingers resting on the keys, and just stops. The camera hovers then over him, allowing him to sit in the extended moment of silence. Then after close to a minute of stillness, Batiste begins gently coaxing sounds out of the instrument and builds to a furious, torrential downpour of notes. Whether this piece was written as a love song or not, it's now become one as he pours his agony and ecstasy into the performance, all in one shot. The film takes its cue from him, and you realize as it follows these two through hell and back before fading out near the end, that it matches that achievement by becoming a love letter to the two of them.
Give yourself a chance, 'cause you've got so.
Box Sheep May Safely Graze introduces our music research and technology. It's an article that's titled, Sheer Bliss for New Zealand's Pampered Sheep. This is written by Rylan James on the 22nd of November 2023 in KULR8.com. Classical music, soft mattresses, and the gentlest touch of a wool clipper. Welcome to the New Zealand farm, indulging what may be the world's most pampered sheep. Forget any preconceptions of rough-hewn shearers men handling the flock as they quickly deprive them of their fleece in crowded, noisy wool sheds. At Lake Hawea, station on New Zealand's South Island, owners Jeff and Justine Ross are advocates of the gentler, more soothing art of slow shearing. The sounds of Debussy, Vivaldi, and Mozart may be wafting through the shed as shearers usher the ewes from their pens before trimming off their thick wool with slow, methodical strokes of the clippers. Shearers are paid according to the sheep's overall experience. Stress, bruises, and cuts can lead to lower wages. The trimming is performed on pristine whitewash boards to better reveal any nicks inflicted on the sheepskin. Once shorn, each sheep is guided towards a chute where it slides into a holding pen, landing not on gravel but on soft mattress. It's sheep shearing reconsidered from the sheep's perspective. It came first from a place of care for the animal, Justine Ross said. We're all about having happier, calmer sheep. That starts with the way we treat them. We raised lambs in our first season. Once you see their personality and their unique character, you know the great responsibility of their care. And we have 10,000. On the station, there are silent yards where working dogs are trained not to bark while moving the merino flock. In the hospital paddock, sick sheep get extra nutrition and medical treatment. You lose animals in farming, that's a fact, but sometimes with a little extra love and care, they come good, Ross said. After reading that cows produce more milk if played classical music, Ross decided to make additions to the playlist in the shearing shed, where high-tempo rock, pop, or rap is typically heard. We sometimes play Mozart. Some dairy farmers use it as a way to calm the animals, Ross said. Vivaldi's Four Seasons is probably my favorite. We're just trying stuff to build a case for less stress for the animal and a calmer, happier shed. New Zealand is home to 5 million people and 25 million sheep. It is one of the world's main wool exporters, sending 84 million tons worth, that's U.S. $232 million, overseas in the last financial year. Shearing, meanwhile, is hard physical work. It demands skill and stamina to handle the sheep. Each weighs up to 60 kilograms, that's 132 pounds, and can give the occasional painful kick. A good shearer trims several hundred sheep per day. Traditionally, shearing was about speed, with little concern given to the occasional cut. Nowadays, animal welfare is a key factor. Carolyn Clegg from New Zealand's Shearing Association says, "The priority remains trimming the best quality wool," she said, "but that extends to the sheep. You don't want them cut up or under stress because that affects their welfare." On the Lake Hawea station, farm manager Jack Mansfield said he likes to see a nice, slow, tidy job with the sheep relaxed at all times. Pay is based on how the sheep are handled, known as stockmanship, and whether they are free of scratches, with the extra care coming at the cost of volume. We're possibly down 50 sheep a day, which probably ends up being a couple of $100 New Zealand out of our back pockets, said shearing gang leader Kevin Patrick O'Neill. That is replaced with a bonus from the farmer. The slower pace also means the sheep are less inclined to wriggle or kick. If we're calm and relaxed, the sheep are too, O'Neill added. After selling their successful vodka business to an international spirits company, Jeff and Justine Ross bought the sheep station in 2017, determined to make it sustainable. It was the first New Zealand farm to be certified as carbon clear by a government research institute. In addition to keeping emissions down, the couple also wanted to reduce stress on their sheep. And focusing on animal welfare has business benefits too, said Justine Ross. Our clients are demanding animal welfare credentials as part of their fiber purchasing. If an animal isn't stressed, full of that fight-or-flight energy, then they will use that energy to grow more wool, she said. UK-based Merino Knitwear firm Sheep Incorporated is one of the companies that buys their wool. Co-founder Edzard van der Vick said they were drawn to Lake Hawea because of its carbon-clear status and animal welfare policy. If you bring less stress into a sheep's life, there is less breakages in the wool fiber, so the quality sustains itself, he said. The Mamas and the Papas, California Dreamin', introduced our rock and pop music news. It's titled, Reflecting on the Legacy of the Flute in Pop Music. This is written by Scott Simon, published in NPR on the 18th of November, 2023. This week, Andre 3000 released new music for the first time in 17 years, but New Blue Sun is not what most fans have been expecting. If the record has no rap music, what it does have is the flute. It's an instrumental album featuring the flute. August Brown of the LA Times says Andre 3000's always had a mystically inclined kind of presence, so it's unexpected, but on par for him. The flute, however, has had decades-long role in pop music. Starting in the 1960s, bossa nova became popular. Songs like Herbie Mann's One-Note Samba served as America's introduction to it. That song still stands up as an interesting kind of artifact of the flute's crossing over into American pop. Just a few years later, the flute reappeared on the Mamas and Papas' California Dreamin', the song playing in the background now. And it wasn't long before the easy, breezy, woodwind tag of stage, Jethro Tull's frontman, Ian Anderson, shredded rock solos on the flute and led his group to win the first heavy metal Grammy in 1999. He's ripping in a way that a lead guitarist would rip off a solo. Does it with the same virtuosity and aplomb. He's treating the flute as you would treat a finger-tapping solo. So while the flute may not have been what Andre 3000 and Outkast fans were expecting, it's become almost a fixture in popular music. And in 1994, the Beastie Boys came out with a song called Flute Loop. In 2017, the flute flooded its way from rock to rap when Future released the song Mask Off. The sample came from Carlton Williams' 1978 prison song featured in Selma. Yeah, it's a really idiosyncratic sample. Somber sonics, very hard-hitting drums, kind of gaze through alienated emotional feeling. But perhaps the most famous flautist of the last several years is Lizzo. Notably, she even played James Madison's 200-year-old crystal flute on stage, on loan, of course, from the Library of Congress. She's extremely good at the instrument on its own terms, and her pop music kind of stands alone without it. But it's a very endearing and very exciting kind of trick during her shows that she kind of plays to that caliber of an instrument that you don't often hear in the forefront of top 40 pop. Will Andre 3000 ever return to rapping? Reporter August Brown thinks so. Eventually. Yeah, he knows what fans expect him to get back on the knife sometime soon, and this was obviously a passion project. But I hope more artists kind of feel free to take this kind of big left-field swing. You know, if you want to make your improv ambient flute record instead of your hip-hop comeback, I think that rules that you should do it. So, how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question: which of the statements that I read about the month of December is or are true? Correct answer, answer A. December 21 is the summer solstice. This is true, at least in the southern hemisphere. Up here in the northern hemisphere, that same day is called the winter solstice, and it's the shortest day of the calendar year. Answer B, which stated that December is the 12th month in the Gregorian calendar, but was just the 10th month in the preceding Julian calendar. Hey, that's false. It was also the 12th month in the Julian calendar, but it was the 10th month in the Roman calendar. In the old Roman calendar, December was called Menses December, the 10th month, since that Roman calendar started in March. But it was the last month of both the current and Roman calendars. January and February were added to the Julian calendar to make 12 months. And the length of the month of December? That was increased to 31 days. Well, then how about answer C, which state that the month's name comes from the Latin root decem, which means 12? Afraid that's also false. Decem comes from the Latin root meaning 10, not 12. In 45 B.C., Julius Caesar ordered a calendar consisting of 12 months based on a solar year. The original Roman calendar was synced to the lunar year. The Julian calendar, which was designed with the aid of Greek mathematicians and astronomers, is based entirely on the Earth's revolutions around the sun. The Gregorian calendar is the calendar we use today. It was introduced in October 1582 by Pope Gregory XIII. It's a slight modification of the Julian calendar, reducing the average year from 365.25 days to 365.2425 days. It shortened the calendar year by 0.0075 days in order to stop the drift of the calendar with respect to the equinoxes. So then how about answer D, which states that December is the rarest month to be born in? Well, that's also false. Actually, as noted in data from the CDC and Social Security Administration, the rarest month for births is February, making Aquarius the rarest zodiac sign. Of significance here is that even in a leap year, February is the shortest month of the year. And the answer to our second question, it was on this very day back in 1997 that Kenny G set a record when he held a note on his saxophone for how long? Was it A, 2 minutes and 15 seconds, B, 11 minutes and 32 seconds, C, 45 minutes and 47 seconds, or D, over 1 hour? Correct answer? Answer C, 45 minutes and 47 seconds. As noted in CompleteMusicUpdate.com, Nigerian musician Femi Kuti celebrated the weekend believing he had broken Kenny G's record for the longest ever note played on a saxophone. And while he did beat the American easy listening saxophonist at a concert just last week, turns out Kenny G wasn't the actual record holder. G played a single note for 45 minutes and 47 seconds back in 1997 using the circular breathing technique, where the player breathes in through their nose and out through their mouth continuously. Kuti lasted 46 minutes and 38 seconds at a recent show. Initially celebrating his win, it was subsequently pointed out that another U.S. saxophonist, Van Birchfield, actually broke Kenny G's record in 2000, playing for 47 minutes and 5.5 seconds. No problem, said Kuti. He will work to achieve the 50-minute mark. Well, even if he does, though, it won't be recorded by Guinness World Records. That organization said that the category for the longest note using circular breathing was rested several years ago, and it now only accepts claims not using circular breathing. And by the way, the longest held note by a vocalist is only about 2 minutes. So let's close out today's music program with a nod to our southern neighbor's summer solstice and to the recognition that on the same day, December 21st, our days up here in the north, hey, they begin to get longer. So it's the Beatles' Here Comes the Sun. By the way, as noted by Alex Hopper in a November 18, 2023 article in AmericanSongwriter.com, Ringo Starr's drum fills really make this song. But funnily enough, he hated doing them, since he could never remember what he was doing one take to the next. Before recording this tune for the first time, the song's writer, George Harrison, said, "Hey, Ringo, I've got this song. It's in 7/4 time." Starr replied, "What are you telling me for? I'm 4/4 or 3/4. You know that." Despite his trouble, Ringo always pulled off the song takes in spades. It's hard to not get a rush when his first riff comes in at the beginning of this song. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.